Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at last week's message, The King Who Had It All. We're going to look ahead to this week's message, The Divided Kingdom. And then we're going to continue our series on 1 John, looking at 1 John chapter 3. Without further ado, let's get started. This past week, we continued our series on God's big story and how you fit, and we looked at the king who had it all. We, of course, were talking about King Solomon, who was known throughout the centuries, not only when he was alive, but since then, for his vast wisdom and his extreme wealth. But we saw how the king who had it all did tend to head down a slow fade that led him to eventually turn away from God. You know, I started with the analogy of talking about a frog and water. And if a frog was attempt to be put into a boiling pot of water, that frog would do everything it could to get out because it recognized the danger. But a frog starting in regular room temperature or even cool water and then would put into that, the frog would just stay because it felt comfortable. You would find that over time, if you slowly but surely turned up the temperature to that water and it adjusted a little bit at a time, the frog would continue to stay in that water, even to the point of when the water would begin to boil and would become a severe detriment to the frog, even killing it, the frog would not try to get out. Why is that, you say? It's because they're cold-blooded and they continue to adapt to the temperature as it slowly warms up. And just like this frog, King Solomon started out having it all. He was the king put on the throne by King David, who was a man after God's own heart. And Solomon would slowly become one of the greatest kings of all time as far as wealth and wisdom would go. In fact, we saw in 1 Kings chapter 3 how God asked Solomon, "What would you have me to give you?" And Solomon wisely said, "Wisdom and discernment to govern this nation." He realized that at a young age, he did not have the experience to rule like he should. And God said, "Absolutely, I will give you this. And because you asked for this and not wealth or long life, I will give you vast riches. And if you follow the commands that I have given you, just like your father David, I will give you long life." But we see that throughout Solomon's life, he began to make some poor decisions. One of this was the taking of foreign wives. You know, this was not an unusual thing in his time or even after. This was a way that kings would make treaties with other kingdoms, and especially the other kingdoms wanted to stay on Solomon's good side, so they would give him wives as part of this commitment to one another. The problem with this was that there was many wives, and with that came many religions, and with that came many spiritual practices that slowly began to creep into Solomon's wheelhouse, if you will. He continued to follow down these paths and not keep God at number one. And really, he was putting down God by allowing these things to happen. Many wives and many religions brought many downfalls to Solomon and eventually led to him turning his heart and having a divided heart against God. We'll see in the next message, which I'll talk about in just a minute, coming up this Sunday, that how this led to the divided kingdom. Our takeaway was really a challenge to examine our own lives. Are there things in our lives that we have allowed to creep in that were lukewarm water that slowly have been turned up that we need to be alerted to? And this may mean a number of simple action steps. One, it may be just stop doing those things that are really, we know, are against what God would have us to do. A second action step may be to, even if we feel like we have things under control right now, seeking out an accountability partner or a small group of people that we can get to know and invest in each other's lives and be those types of friends that are willing to tell each other what we need to hear and not what we want to hear. And finally, most of all, if you heard this message Sunday or you're listening right now and you don't know Jesus Christ, that is the first action step. We must recognize that our life is lost and separated from God because of our sin, and that the only way to reconcile, to come back to God and truly receive His blessings in our lives is to accept Jesus as our Lord Savior. See, He is really Lord of all, but we need to turn or repent from our own things that we're putting in His place and turn towards Him and accept Him and work to make Him number one in our lives. Now we'll see in this coming week's message that Solomon's downfall didn't just affect him. Yes, his relationship with God was tainted, but this also led to other consequences. In this coming message, we're going to see how the kingdom was indeed would be torn in two. See, because of what Solomon's choices, it led to God telling him that the kingdom was going to be divided. 10 of the tribes would separate and be led by a different king, but Solomon's son would take the possession of the remaining two tribes and become king over those. Well, we'll pick up the story learning about a man named Jeroboam. And he was raised up in Solomon's court, but in fact, he would in fact receive a message from the Lord and from a prophet from the Lord and be told that he was going to be the king of the 10 tribes that would break off from the main kingdom. But Jeroboam got a little bit ahead of himself and revolted against Solomon. And as we remember from last week, that Solomon was told that the divided kingdom would not happen until after his death. And so Jeroboam was sent away, ran away actually to Egypt to stay safe. And later on, he sees this opportunity as Solomon's son Rehoboam comes to the throne of this kingdom. Well, the advisors for Rehoboam came to him and said, listen, you know, Solomon, for all the things he did really well, there was a lot of labor and forced labor for all these big projects that had to happen. And while the temple was certainly something that needed to happen, it was maybe not exactly the best way to do it. And so they advised him to maybe lay off a little bit and take a little bit of ease onto the Israelite people. And the Israelite people would maybe respond differently. But Rehoboam, being a young man, instead of like Solomon asking for wisdom, ignored the counsel of the wise elders and instead listened to the group of people that were his friends that were much younger. And they said to stand up and be firm and say, if Solomon did this kind of labor, imagine what I'm going to do. Well, through a series of events, this division actually happened, and Jeroboam became king over the northern kingdom, what it would be called, the 10 tribes that broke away, or would be called the northern kingdom. Rehoboam was indeed stayed in control of the kingdom, which was of the remaining two tribes in the southern kingdom. There was many things that happened and many crazy events that led to some wickedness that would see a line of succession that happened in the northern kingdom that would lead to many, many evil kings. But in the southern kingdom, there was some godlessness, but there would be some positive things that came back, and occasionally kings that would turn back to the Lord. This week, we're going to look at this story through the lens of considering how a movie is made. You know, a movie has several key parts to it. It has the setting, the characters, the point of view, the plot, the resolution, and the theme. And we're going to look at this story, this account of the divided, how the kingdom is divided through that lens. And finally, we're going to look at what is our response in this time. There is certainly an upper story that God is still God. And even though bad things happen from our point of view, God's big story is still going to get done because God is good. He is faithful. He is true, and He is sovereign. And we're also going to look at how we have a personal responsibility as well. We have the opportunity to make decisions that will have an effect on not only us, but on others. And finally, we're going to see, as followers of Jesus, what this might look like in our lives with a brief challenge to you. And of course, we're going to look at, as a non-follower of Jesus or someone who doesn't know Jesus, what does this all mean to you? Well, I can't wait to talk through this and see what God brings out of this message this coming Sunday. Well, I want to end my time this week by the reading of 1 John chapter 3, reading a brief commentary, and then just sharing a few of my thoughts. So let's take out our Bible and open our Bible to 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But when you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin, no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been of God. This is how we know that the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor anyone who does not love his brother. Verse 11. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brother, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed through death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in Jesus. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can he the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. That is how we know that we belong to the truth, and know we set our hearts at rest in his presence, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him everything we ask, because we obey the commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey the commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Now let's listen to the words from the Quick Reference Manual, Chapter by Chapter Bible Commentary by Warren Wiersbe. 1 John chapter 3. Deliberate sin is a serious thing. When you deliberately sin, you grieve the heart of the Father who loves you and has a wonderful future planned for you, verses 1 through 3. You grieve the Savior who died for you, delivered you from the power of Satan, verses 4 through 8. Deliberate sin grieves the Holy Spirit who lives in you and gave you new birth, verses 9 through 15. You have a new nature and a new Father, therefore you should live a new life. To John, lack of love is the same as hatred, and hatred is the moral equivalent of murder. This can be seen in Matthew 5:21 through 26. Deliberate sin also grieves people, verses 16 through 24, because we cannot minister to them as we should if we're not walking in love and in light. Strive to talk strive to have a heart that is right before God and men. Acts 24:16. Ask God to use you to be an encouragement and to help others. James chapter 2. Love is more than a matter of words. You know, John again tells us here, and he kind of hammers in on the point of deliberate sin. You know, I wish that when we accepted Jesus and we received the Holy Spirit, we never desired to sin again. But that's just not the case. See, that sin nature is born into us because of our descendancy from Adam and the original sin that came into his life because he and Eve sinned against God. That meant that everybody after that point would have sin. But what John is getting at here is that if you are really following Jesus Christ, if you're really seeking after him, if you're really growing, then this consistent, regular, intentional sin will not continue. Yes, we're still going to make mistakes. Yes, we're going to still make bad choices. But even in those moments, we're going to be given this Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that's going to remind us, listen, this is not okay. We need to be working on this. We need to be handing this over to the Lord and saying, God, please forgive me and change my nature. Change who I am. Make me more like you. Because if you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells us that if we are in Christ, we are new. We are a new creation, and that's what John is saying here, is you are new, you're different, you're not the same as before, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have a part in this, and if we sin, we grieve them, and we need to make this right immediately. And if our identity is truly changed, that's what John is getting after here, how we live life through the lens of loving others and loving God is going to be different. It's going to be new. It's going to be changed. And this is only possible because we have received the Holy Spirit upon confession in Jesus Christ. So what I want to leave you with really at the end of this message is two things. One, examine our life, examine your life and how you are living. See, it's not just what we're doing. It's not just what we're saying. It's how we are doing it. Are we doing this in a way to serve the Lord and love others, not worrying about how we're going to be rewarded? Or are we only saying that we're going to love people, but how we live is completely different? You know, this week I was listening as my younger daughter was learning some vocabulary in Bible and talking about hypocrite and how what does that mean to be a hypocrite? And this idea of saying one thing in one season of your life. So in other words, going to church and saying, I'm following Jesus and I'm going to live this way. But then in your everyday life or at home, you're putting on a different character, maybe a little bit more of your true self that doesn't reflect the love of God and how we are to love others. You know, my challenge to you continues to be examine what's in your life that needs to be corrected. That's what John is trying to do here. He's trying to give us how we can better know that we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. And this week, he's showing us that how we can do this is by how we are loving others. Are we loving genuinely? Are we putting others first? And he goes on to say that, you know, not loving your neighbor is basically the same as saying, I'm hating my neighbor. And hate is the equivalent of physical murder. And this is not a good place for our heart to be. So the second thing is once we've identified a place or two that we really need to surrender to God and improve on, that we would actually begin to do that. Ask the Lord to show you how to be better, how to live more like Christ, how to love better. And along with this, we need to be in our Word, reading God's Word and learning from it and studying it and meditating on it and writing it on our heart so that we are growing closer and trying to remain more with Christ day to day. That is who we are emulating. Well, that's all I have for you this week, and I hope that this message, looking back at what we talked about last Sunday, looking ahead at what we're going to talk about this Sunday, or just sharing some information in words of wisdom with you from 1 John have definitely encouraged you, and I pray that there's even a little bit in there that has equipped you to continue on your journey of knowing and following Jesus Christ. Until next time, have a great day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.